Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, no really need to expand on another topic. I kind of want to start there. He was pretty open and honest. He went about a minute and a half. We got the full cut that we'll play momentarily. I took away that maybe there is a philosophical change coming based on how the batting average has been the last few years. Maybe what did you take away from that clip?
Well, first off, let me say, you know, I share everyone's disappointment. I mean, it was just it was a heartbreaking weekend. I'll be honest, going into it, I didn't know that this team was playing well enough to get to Omaha, but I thought they'd win this weekend, and just didn't work out that way. You know, when I hear Dave talk there and when I look at what happened this weekend, it always goes back to roster construction, if you really look closely. It always does. And the answer is always on the recruiting trail. And I know we've got callers, and we'll certainly get to them, but and I'll be brief here. But I don't think it's so much a change in philosophy, Ty, as it is they got to get the right personnel in. In other words, There was no leadoff hitter on this team this year. All year long, it was who's going to hit leadoff. This team was filled with home run hitters. With one or two exceptions, every guy that came to the plate was thinking long ball. Power hitters generally have lower batting averages. I think that's why the team batting average was so low, is because they had a lineup of guys trying to hit home runs. Now, you need guys that can hit home runs. You got to have them. But if you really look closely at what happened this weekend, Arkansas was at their most effective when Wilmsmeyer was on base.
Yep.
Because when you can't do things on the bases, the only pressure the offense puts on the other side is with the batter. Now, that's a characteristic of a lot of SEC teams. In the SEC team, pitchers don't have to worry about, is the base runner going to go? When Kansas State sacked bunted in the fifth inning Saturday night, in the fifth inning with two on and nobody out, there's not a team in the SEC that would have done that, including us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But go back to Kansas State's fifth inning. The first two batters worked the count full and walked on 3-2 pitches. Then they bunted them up, second and third. Then they had a couple of slap singles. The first one wasn't even hard enough to get two runs on. Second one got the guy home from third, but it was good enough to get the first guy from first to third. That allowed him to squeeze the bunt home. If he's not at third, you can't squeeze. Now, when's the last time you saw an SEC team squeeze? Now, hang on, let me finish. And when you get in that situation, when you find yourself in that situation right there, Kansas State's got the lead. They squeeze the run home. Then they turn the guy loose and let him swing for the downs. They got the pitcher on the ropes. They hit the three-run homer, and basically the season was over. When you get to the NCAA tournament, you got to beat teams in different ways. The styles of leagues come into place. Most interesting thing in the postseason to me is watching how the styles of leagues combat one another. Kansas State played a different style. Arkansas needed to play a different style, particularly yesterday. But they don't have the ability to do that because their roster's not their lineup's not constructed that way. When he's talking about we got to go get those players, that's what he's talking about. You got to have a more balanced lineup, and that would be my take.
Yeah, and to double down on something you just said there,
Arkansas defensively struggled to field that because of exactly what you just said. You didn't see that for 10 SEC weekends. You didn't see teams in the SEC who, you know, treat home plate as a launching pad more or less throughout the league, and you didn't field those plays well. Is that fair? I mean, we tried to flip it with gloves, and those plays didn't work out. And my point is, you don't have the experience with those plays throughout the season because you're not seeing it for 10 weekends in the SEC.
That's true. There's no question. And
that's part of it. That's part of everything you're saying there.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
You got to defend it as well as be able to do it. You've also got to be able to defend the play when you face it. And we didn't defend it very well.
I don't think that overall the defense was bad. Now, I think the flip play obviously was not a good play. But, like, for example, the squeeze bunt in the fifth inning the other night. I mean, they defended it perfectly. I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with the way they defended it. It was about Kansas State's execution.
Yeah.
We don't have enough guys in our lineup, didn't have enough guys in our lineup who could do things like that. Now, look, our league, I watched Virginia do the same thing to Mississippi State yesterday. Hey, we got guys in our league with two strikes. I mean, they're swinging like they're trying to hit it to Goshen. And with some guys, I look at them and it's like, what about protecting the plate? But that's how power hitters are.
Yeah.
But when you got a lineup of power hitters, when you got a lineup of guys swinging for the downs, you can get into trouble. And they thought they had those guys through the draft. They thought they did. Didn't work out. Everybody has to deal with that. Everybody has to deal with that. But I think that came back to bite them many, many times during the course of this season. I think if you'd had a real legit leadoff hitter, a guy that could be disruptive, a guy that put pressure on the defense, altered the way the pitcher threw to that next guy, I think you're different offensively.
And I think Wilmsmeyer this weekend played like more like a traditional leadoff guy. Even though he wasn't in that role particularly, he hit the ball better than maybe he has a good chunk this season. I think he had a decent game in Hoover, if memory serves me correct as well. But it
was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine.
It wasn't consistent.
He brings speed
enough
that no one else can bring to the base pass.
Now, you referenced that fifth inning. I think it is important to note who was on the mound during that fifth inning. And it was Hagen Smith.
No question.
And Dave had a comment that, again, I think is important to play here when talking about that, just that fifth inning for him this compared to the rest of the year.
We walked the first two hitters, very unusual, especially in a tight game. We punch in two, take the lead, momentum's on our side. And then they fouled off a pitch or two, but he walked two guys. And then a couple things went their way. But, you know, he had a hitter, had the nine-hole hitter down 0-2. Threw a fastball up and out. He slaps it to right. Another hitter, left-handed hitter down 1-2, and he chops it over our head. So give them credit on those swings, putting the bat on the ball, but just not an inning we had seen before this year.
Kansas State did a great job attacking a great pitcher, much in the same way TCU did a year ago. I'm going to be honest, just as a baseball fan, I loved K-State's approach at the plate. I love TCU's approach at the plate last year. That's the way you attack a good pitcher. Let me go back to one more point on the importance of having a guy on base. When Wilmsmeyer was on, and you think about Diggs. Diggs was at the plate. You know, Diggs, one of those guys, every time he comes to the plate, it looks like, man, he's trying to hit it as far as he can hit it. Sometimes when a guy's in a slump, and you watch baseball, and you'll see this. When a hitter's in a slump and you've got a good base runner at first base, sometimes the best thing you can do is start the runner because it makes the hitter focus solely on contact. Diggs had his best at bat in a month when they started Wilmsmeyer, except for that time, except for the one where he fouled off all those pitches and drew the walk. Diggs did exactly what you have to do in that situation. He drove the ball up the middle. It was his best at bat in a long time. Wilmsmeyer goes to third. That's the byproduct of being able to put pressure on a defense. We did not have the ability to do that because we didn't find enough situations. We had plenty of slumping hitters, but we didn't have enough situations where you had a fast guy at first that you could start him up and make that guy focus on driving the ball up the middle. That's how you get a kid out of a slump, by the way. And we just didn't have enough situations where we could do that.
Yeah. You know, I was saying earlier before you joined us, you know, this weekend. You can't erase it, but it really comes down to the fifth inning against Kansas State and the fourth inning yesterday. And kind of like a round of golf, you've got a lot of pars and a few birdies, but a couple triple bogeys on two holes, and you've wrecked it. And that's really what happened, and that's baseball. But you know, one half inning in each game is what did you in.
I mean, you think about the Kansas State game. There's three innings, three straight innings, the sixth, the seventh, and eighth, where you had two guys on and two outs, and you weren't able to bring any of those guys home for three straight innings. And it really stood out in the Kansas State game because you had plenty of hits. I know the hits were few and far between yesterday. They weren't an issue really in the Kansas State game, but it comes back to the root of what we've been saying over and over this season. It's timely hitting, and it really, really came to, unfortunately, get you in that Kansas State game.
Twice they had runners at third base with less than two outs. A couple of times with nobody out, I think. You had pop-ups on the infield on first pitches. That's a characteristic of a power hitter. That's what power hitters do. They either hit a home run or pop it up. I mean, that's just how it works. And that's, you know, that was noticeable. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, there were that Saturday night, there were, seemed like two dozen, but there was probably six or eight pop-ups. I mean, it seemed like we led the nation in pop-ups in that one game.
But now, I want to go back to the original comment that you made there, Ty. This is not a philosophical change. This is an adjustment in roster. And if you really look, I heard you in the first half hour talking about some of the teams in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who the leadoff guy was. Look at the number of guys in the lineup in those years who might not necessarily have been long ball hitters, but they hit 300 or they hit 290. And they were good base runners. They could go from first to third. They could disrupt a pitcher's thought process mm-hmm. when they got on base. You got to have those guys. The style of play in the SEC is very similar to that in the major leagues. You look at the major leagues right now, it's walk, strikeout, home run, double. I mean, that's kind of how it is in the SEC. You can't sign a guy that's going to be in the pros and say, yeah, come to us, and we're not going to play the major league style. But we want you to come play for us anyway. It's a power league, power pitching, power hitting, power everything. And when you get to the tournament, particularly this weekend, you've got to beat teams in different ways sometimes.
And I just wonder, and listen, this is someone with very little experience, but I've listened to enough of you guys talk about it. Now with all the analytics and TrackMan and the velocities that these pitchers are throwing, I mean, it's just physics. When you swing the bat and you hit a ball thrown 96 or 7 or 8
no question.
Versus 89, 90, or 91, it's just going to go further. And I think that's the temptation in today's game is, man, we see all this velocity, and if we can just be better at barreling it up, the ball's going to leave the park because the ball's being thrown harder.
Yeah, well, think about
Well, sometimes, too, in defense of the hitters, you only get one pitch to hit in at bat. You only get one pitch to hit. Everything else, total guesswork.
And think about who Arkansas lost to yesterday in Wilma. And he had some stuff that was reaching low 9, but his curveball was in like the 60s. Like, how many times have they seen that? You were talking about idea of, and you kind of referenced it too, what Kansas State and SEMO would do during certain situations they didn't see during the course of conference play. How many conference pitchers that you see pitching 60 miles an hour?
That breaking pitch at 62 was just, I mean, but unhittable.
He located it yesterday. You go back to the Friday game when they beat him, all that off-speed mm-hmm. stuff, belt high. Razorbacks hit it a mile. Look at the spin on his breaking pitch yesterday. Look where those breaking balls landed. Look where the ones that he missed with were caught. He had some legit bend yesterday, and Friday everything was flat. Everything all their pitchers threw was flat, and Arkansas was able to score a bunch of runs.
Couple texts that we can get to here on the McCarty Dinner Hotline. We'll start with David's text. David and Alma wondering about maybe the pressure of trying to live up to fans' expectations. I know that was something that Dave talked about. It's either after the Kentucky series or kind of right before Hoover. I saw a few times, and you kind of laid out, and you're correct and accurate in saying that, again, a lot of Arkansas's hitters sometimes go for home runs, but You had plenty of chances, you felt like, yesterday with getting guys on base. But maybe that pressure did get to him a little bit when you're at the brink of elimination in your own ballpark. It's the first time ever you've been eliminated by a four seed, which I also found interesting. But maybe that kind of was in the back of their minds as well from a hitting standpoint.
Well, I mean, I don't know that they hit any better or worse over the weekend than they have all year long. Just, you know, they had games this year where they knocked it around. And, I mean, after the game on Friday, I mean, you know, all the – you know, Arkansas and Kansas State, average-wise, were the two worst-hitting teams there, but they had big days. And, again, I just thought K-State's approach was great on Saturday night. And sometimes you got to tip your cap, as tough as it is. And I don't think Kansas State's going to win their Super Regional. I think Virginia's going to beat them, and it might even be in two games. But they deserve to win the regional. I mean, they were the better team. Hey, I want to pause just for a second and talk to you about my friends at Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. I know things aren't quite back to normal around Northwest Arkansas just yet, but I also know that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are still helping one another. Weicker Griffin's been out there, and many others have as well. I also know that for others who are unaffected, life goes on. If you're buying or selling a home, whatever you find your situation in, I do want to recommend my friends at Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. They've been my partners from the very first time when I had no earthly idea what was going on to the point where we are now where, you know, you think you know everything and then something happens and you realize you don't. They're always there. There's always an open line of communication. They've been my guide. They've been my partners. And they've been my friends. That's been my experience. And I think that'll be your experience as well. Now, they are in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Benton County, and they've been front and center with a lot of this stuff that's been going on the last week or so. Washington County as well, Fort Smith, Branson, and you can always log on to WeikerGriffin.com.
Guys, on that subject, I put an offer on a house yesterday.
Did you?
Through a Weicker agent.
Well, yeah. Congratulations.
Wow. What a big moment.
Growing up a little bit.
That's awesome. So good for you,
When will you find out if it's an accepted offer?
Probably in the coming. I mean, y'all know more about this process than I do. I would think
maybe later tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
you'll know quick.
It's an exciting process.
You ready to counter? You got a number in mind?
Yeah.
What's your strategy?
I'm gonna let like Chuck said.
Are you gonna try to talk him down?
I mean, I didn't offer the listing price. No, I offered less than the listing price because
Tommy's the horse trader now.
Yeah. So that's it's kind of exciting.
As I was taught by my father, if the first offer doesn't insult him, you were too high.
Now that's a quote right there. Yeah. All right, let's get to some. I will update you on that. Hopefully ahead. Oh, Tyler in South Korea says, welcome to debt.
It's you got to live somewhere.
Yeah, and that's true. And I'll read another one of Tyler's texts. Tyler's station, for those that don't know, Tyler is a texter that listens in South Korea. He listens to us every morning.
A little bit of a difference.
Yeah, just slight bit. He wants to know what the heck he's supposed to watch now in South Korea. I guess he's got the NBA Finals coming up on Thursday. I don't know what time that will be for him. I think it's a 7, if I remember correctly, it's a 7:30 start. But what is he supposed to watch the next couple of days? SEC baseball.
If he was on the other side, as you first said, whatever the government tells you, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
I'm going to sound stupid, but I don't know if the Korean Baseball League is playing right now. Is it summer in Korea?
It's a great question, Chuck. I don't know.
I believe it is. That would be above
I'm
the
revealing
the
my
hemisphere.
Stupidity yeah. there. But
which way does the
I know that
flush?
You know during COVID. Was it the Korean League that ESPN would show at all hours of the morning?
Yeah, that's what, because my buddies are gambling fiends, and they will bet on anything and everything, not just in person.
The word you're looking for is degenerate.
Degenerates. But they'd send in parlays and all these different in-game and prop bets of South Korea baseball games.
You're really needing
COVID.
A fix.
Yeah. Those are guys that want to gamble, right?
They
there.
Love it, yeah. Man. I love listening to and watching them. I don't have the same desire that they do, but yeah, that South Korea thing was something that they paid attention to for sure.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it was funny. Thank God we have American sports back. Tyler in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were just talking about Tyler in South Korea. This guy's in Knoxville. He said there's been a lot of talks about bats this morning. I agree. He says it seems like the last few years the arms haven't been as consistent going into the tournament. He feels like it's just not the same starting rotation that we necessarily had in the 2010s. Well, you had the number one ERA of any postseason team out there. I will say in Hoover and this weekend, you gave up 22 runs over the course of 3 days. So that's not great. Yeah, but I think there's some fairness to that text, too.
That number lies to you as well, because that number was built in a regular season when you had, and Dave talked about this, bing, bang, boom, I think is what he called it. Two lefties and a righty, and you had a solid rotation till the end, Chuck. And then, you know, for fatigue and other reasons, injury and other reasons, it, you know, your pitching rotation came apart over the last month. And, you know, that's not discussed enough as to why the season ended in a disappointing fashion.
Well, you're right. And if that had not happened, we might not be having any of these conversations about all this other stuff. The thing is, and I know this, I'm not saying, none of us are saying anything they don't already know.
Yeah.
10 times better than we do. Dave articulated it very well, I thought, after the ball game, what the needs are in terms of construction. You know, I knew there would be something there about, you know, are you going to change anything in terms of scoring runs? I mean, I knew that would be in there. And but again, nobody's talking about a philosophical change. You're talking about, you know, putting together a lineup like all of his good teams have had, if you really look at it closely.
Yeah, because from my seat, the dominance you had for a while in the season and that ERA you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
when it kind of started to unravel because of injury and other reasons in the last month, you no longer were able to cover up some of your hitting deficiencies. And you could overcome that because you were so good on the mound.
That's a good point.
Well, and also, too, you ask, when a pitcher goes down, it's easy to say next man up. But you're also putting a guy into a different circumstance, a different situation than he's been in before. And, you know, 19, 20-year-olds are different between the ears than 24 and 25-year-olds. They just are. Yeah. And that's one of the realities you're dealing with there, too.
Yeah. And let's also, you know, look, you know, the schedule. I think you started out with Auburn, if I remember right. And then you had LSU early in the season before they really found their track. Ole Miss turned out to not be very good. You caught Mississippi State at home. Now, that was towards the kind of the beginning of the last half, but you had to fight from behind to win that series on Sunday. Point, as you got to the last three or so weeks and you had Kentucky and you had A&M, and I thought a little more difficult schedule, we got revealed a little bit more.
Well, that's also about the time the arms began to break.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to diminish what they did early on. In fact, you know, I can remember we discussed how they're making it look easy, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be this way for the, you know, when you get to the stretch drive. And certainly it was not. But I think your point's well made. It's not coincidental that some of the struggles, if you want to use that term, began as some of the arms began to break down.
Convergence of issues,
yeah.
Yes.
By the way, Chuck, back to the South Korea conversation. Tyler okay. updates us this morning. The KBO Samsung lines are lit. It is summertime here. So if you're ever over okay. in South Korea, go see the KBO Southern lines. Ryan and Prairie Grove.
Well, you see, he's got stuff to watch.
Yeah. Ryan and Prairie Grove says, I was a big Vizio Dinos guy back in the Korean baseball okay. days, i.e. 2020 during COVID when nothing else was on. But at least we had that. At least we had Korean baseball to watch.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, let's talk to Charlie this morning. He's in Camden. He's got some thoughts on what happened this weekend. What's up, Charlie?
What's up, guys? I'm trying to cheer myself up here with this egg talk, you know, that you guys are having. With it being National Egg Day, I'm looking out, clouds, it's raining, it's Monday. Tom, you think it'd be okay if I grab an egg and go pop it over somebody's head today, or when I might get in trouble for that?
You might get punched in the nose.
Can we just throw some eggs? Can we just throw some eggs today?
Egg something.
I mean, but you know what? I kind of have turned the page a little bit and kind of listened to what Dave said, and I think he nailed it on the head, guys. I mean, honestly, without Hagan Smith, and if you guys remember early in the year when Will McIntyre was on, when he came in for most time, he came in for Hagan, if I'm not mistaken. And man, when he was on, this team was, that's when they were playing well. But he was pointing out the fact, you know, all these games were low scoring, and that was kind of just the way we were built. And, you know, these games this weekend, just everybody was hitting it. I mean, we had our little 17 run. I don't want to call it an anomaly, but somewhat Friday. It just felt like, I didn't feel like we could replicate that again. And it wasn't a knock on the kids. It just was the truth. Guys, I was looking, you know, Kansas State obviously advanced last night. I was watching some of that. They're a team that plays a lot of small ball, right? And when you get beat that way, and Kentucky does it too, right? Because Kentucky plays a little small ball, mixes it with power, and they pitch. When Dave's talking about philosophical changes, I think he's talking about, you know, can we not just be a, you know, Ty and I had mentioned this yesterday, can we focus on being more our hitters, not just, it feels like sometimes we just swing for the fences. Is that a personnel thing? Because Vahiva, before I go, Vahiva, Aloy, or whatever his name, Vahiva, I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. As great and talented as he is, it feels like a lot of times he just goes up there and he's just whacking for the fences. I don't know if that's a personnel change from a coach's standpoint or a player's standpoint. I just want to know what you guys thought about that.
Charlie, thanks for the call.
Hey, can we play that clip again that you played a little bit earlier where Dave talked about, you know, the personnel and such, because he really explained it well. I don't know if Charlie heard that earlier.
I think this one's it.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of decisions we have to make this offseason. We're going to lose almost all our players again for the third year in a row. Really, since 21, we've had to almost start over. You know, you have a couple of freshmen and maybe one or two sophomores that have shown some stuff. But, I mean, we've lost our complete outfield again. They'll all be gone. You lose your second baseman. I don't think the first baseman will be back. Starting catcher's gone. Starting third baseman graduates. Your whole rotation will probably go if they get an opportunity. I mean, I could go on and on. Think about it every day. It's just the way it is these days. You know, we've got kids coming in. We're going to get hit in the draft again. Last year, the draft killed us. Absolutely killed us. You know, we lost four freshmen last year that would have been freshmen on this team, and they got $11 million total for all four of them. I'm just hoping to get a couple of them, just get one of them. We didn't get any of them. So that's our battle. We know it. You know, we got some good young guys in the program that are going to get better and gain some experience, but we got to get more. So we'll be working hard.
What he goes on to say after that, and I think we've got that somewhere.
Yeah, I got that too.
Was where he talks about the construction of the lineup, where, and it kind of goes back to the way a lot of teams in the SEC play. It's kind of like Major League Baseball. Walks, strikeouts, doubles, home runs. That's basically what the offense is. You got to be able to put a little pressure on the defense in other ways. You know, when you're a lineup with power hitters, that's why the batting average was low. Power hitters generally don't have high batting averages. It's why Arkansas had to hit into so many shifts this year, because they had so many power hitters, and your power always comes from the pull side. So just a little bit of a change in the lineup at the top. He also pointed out that it's not ideal to have your outfielders batting 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
You need more offensive production out of your outfielders than the kind of guys you have to bat 7, 8, and 9.
So think about, and he brought up Taven Josenberger, who I know was at one point last season hitting over 300. Jace Borfin, who was a guy that hit the ball pretty well, and then also Jared Wagner. I mean, those were your three outfielders last year, and I think they were in the middle of your lineup for the
But who should be your fastest guys on the team?
And Tavian led off last year. You were talking about leadoff guys earlier, Chuck. Tavian not only was like a quick as a cack like Wilbsmeyer is, but he also was hitting in the 300s for a good chunk of last season. So he gave that kind of what you brought up in the first hour. He gave pitchers something to think about once he got on base, and then oftentimes that screwed up. I know he got injured for a chunk of last season, but that was definitely something.
Yeah. You get those guys on, and you have that speed on base. And, yeah, back to what Ty was just saying, Chuck, you were referencing earlier, the pressure that puts on the opponent and that thought, and not just on the pitcher, but also the catcher. The catcher's under the pressure to make the perfect throw. The second baseman or the shortstop's under pressure to make the catch and the tag. You force the opponent to do things if you can get that threatening speed on base.
Well, if you really stop and look at it, there were way too many times this year, and this is a characteristic of teams that, you know, don't go to Omaha. The only pressure Arkansas really put on the other side when they were batting was with the hitter. They just didn't really put any pressure on them any other way. And you've got to be able to put some pressure on the defense. You've just got to. Look at, you know, when we were at our most effective over the weekend was when Wilbsmeyer was on. And as we discussed a little bit earlier, you know, with the hit by Diggs, there are so many byproducts. You talk about positioning of middle infielders. You got a guy on first base, they're not going to shift on a power hitter either.
Yeah.
So there are, or at least not as much. Yeah. So there are, you know, there are lots of byproducts from getting guys on first base. You know, there's nothing wrong with just getting on first base. And it sounds like as they go out and recruit, they're looking for some guys like that. The answer always lies on the recruiting trail, always. And that's what they'll hit.
And it's the balance of not just going after those guys and potentially signing those guys, it's getting them to campus. He mentioned losing four guys to the MLB draft for $11 million. He has some guys, it sounded like, that he felt like we're going to add to the speed, add to the athleticism and the on-base ability of this roster, just didn't make it to campus. Now, when talking about, again, the buzzword today, we've got it more in texts yesterday and calls yesterday than we have. I say buzzword is philosophical change. And maybe some of you think this sounds like it is. Maybe some of you think it's more of a roster reconstruction. Here's what he said in regards to kind of elaborating on that.
He's ate up with offense and analytics, and he really tries to train a swing. He does a great job. Probably no one works harder than him at it. You can always make adjustments. And a lot of times I think what you're talking about is maybe a little bit more of an approach. Really, in my opinion, that's always important to do that. But we've got to get a little better athlete. You know, we can't just have eight guys that hit homers. I like guys that hit doubles, and I like guys that hit homers. But you got to have some guys that can run, too. And you got to be able to create some offense the days the wind's blowing in or they're really good on the mound. And you're having trouble making contact, and that's something that we want to do, and we're trying to get the right players. The four guys that we lost last year that were high school kids, those kids could all really run, and they could hit and play, and it kind of devastated us a little bit. It threw us back. So, yeah, always looking to get better and make adjustments.
Started out talking about Nate Thompson and kind of how he coaches, but that was kind of the clip that you were referencing there, Chuck, with
it is.
Maybe what we look like, or maybe what this team looks like this upcoming season, whether it's out of high school, out of the transfer portal. It sounds like even post-loss, Dave's kind of got that mind working on what he wants it to look like this next year.
Can't play basketball with five centers. You know, you can't play football with 11 quarterbacks. I mean, you just can't. You've got to have certain guys in certain roles. You can't win baseball games with 8 or 9 power hitters. It sounds great, but power hitters have certain characteristics, many of which are great, but they generally don't hit for a high average. They chase, you know, they swing freely. They'll pop it up on the first pitch. You got guy. I mean, that's one of the, those are characteristics of power hitters. Now, if a guy's hitting 15, 20 home runs in college, well, you can live with that. But you can't have eight guys like that. You know, you got to have two or three guys in there that they're pretty good bets to get on base. And you want that pitcher pitching out of the stretch. You want him having to throw over to first base. You want it to alter his approach to the hitter. You want him to think, am I going to slide step or am I going to or am I going to kick? You want all those things running through his mind. And without somebody over there, you can't do it.
Yeah. I want to go to one other thing Dave said yesterday that to me stood out. And that's just kind of the grind of the season and the stress of the season. And he spoke yesterday to the tightness of all the SEC games and maybe how that wears down on you mentally. I want to hear what you guys think about this.
I'm going to say in the SEC we had played 15 to 18 games. Win or lose by less than three runs. Everything was tight. We didn't blow anybody out. They didn't blow us out. A lot of 5-4, 3-2. I mean, it was stressful. You know, I think maybe you just beat us up a little bit mentally.
You know, Chuck, you had a front row seat for 20-plus years to just the grind of 56 games, the trip to Hoover, all of it. And I think there's something there in what Dave's saying that might be key to all of this is just the mental side of it. Then you have a few other things like a couple of pitchers just wear down or shoulder injuries, different things. You pile all that in one pot and it becomes mentally just exhausting.
Well, it's a long season. There's no doubt about that. Now, the postseason, when you're playing well, is the funnest part. You find that extra gear. When you're not playing well, man, it's been a long season. A lot of Dave's comments in that regard, you got to remember, came right after a very, very disappointing loss. But I do think that your point's well made, that it is a long season. The one thing, and I'm not saying it came into play here, but kids have a lot on their minds. When you got a team full of pro prospects, you got the draft coming up. You got lots of things going on. When you get to the NCAA tournament, you've got every, and for these Arkansas kids, it's especially true. Every cousin you got comes out of the woodwork wanting a ticket. And there's just a lot of things that go on peripherally that you don't deal with during the season. And all that converges, you know, right about the same time. And you got kids graduating from college. You got kids having to move out of their apartments. You got kids wondering where they're going to be drafted. You know, all kinds of stuff. And I think all of that contributes to mental fatigue when you're not playing well.
Yeah. And I think these, you know, he spoke to the two and three run games and the tight ball games. And those, particularly when you come up on the short side, I think even when you win, I think that wears on the coaching staff, starting with Dave Van Horn. You relive those moments, maybe, but you know, because you can second guess everything in baseball. And I can just picture him, you know, lying awake at night or up early in the morning and just grinding mentally on on this decision or that decision or what could I've done here. It's the ultimate chess game.
There's no question about that. But I think what happened yesterday was a result of what happened Saturday night. I don't think it was a result of the grind. I think yesterday's ball game was a result of what happened Saturday night.
And Dave kind of elaborated why he thinks they lost this weekend, and particularly in this game against SEMO.
Well, we didn't pitch very good. I mean, that was pretty obvious the last month. You know, we were rolling pretty good early. You know, you got bing, bang, boom. You got 1-2-3. You got two lefts and a right, and they're all going to give you innings. They're all experienced. And then all of a sudden, you can see a little crack in the armor. One got wild. One's always having issues with his arm. I mean, it was just boom. And the steady was Smith. Smith was the guy. He was the rock. He carried us. The whole season, that guy carried us. And I just think that the pitch had got a little tired.
Yeah, and, you know, he said it earlier. We played the clip earlier that, hey, without Hagen Smith, we're just an average ball club. And probably wouldn't have been playing in Fayetteville this weekend without him.
Oh, no question about that. I think you can say that about a lot of teams. You know, you take the ace pitcher off a lot of teams, and they can get average pretty quickly. And, no, Hagen Smith has been He's been the MVP of this team, no question.
Yeah, you think about Condon at Georgia as they advance past Georgia Tech out of their regional. Caglione's at least got Florida in an elimination game against the Oklahoma State Cowboys today.
And those are everyday players. That's the thing you got to remember. You're talking about Caglione and Condon. Those are position
players.
That's
a good point.
You know, they're in the lineup every day. Smith plays one time a week. Mm-hmm. You know, and for many weeks this year, it was almost a guaranteed W.
And then, like, whatchamacallit, Tanks for LSU, and they're in an elimination game against UNC. They're just kind of the three that come to mind when it comes to SEC ball players.
I don't know how much LSU's got left pitching-wise, but I'm sure it's going to be all hands on deck today.
I was at Herman's seeing Nick and Kerry on Friday, and I walk in. Our year checks with some people, Congressman Womack with some people, I guess, helping with tornado relief stuff. And then Cal walks in. First time I've seen him.
Tie.
Yeah, not in the same.
Who does not belong in this picture?
the guy you just mentioned right there.
I'm joking.
But it was, guys, it's funny to watch just him in person. Chuck, I know you've been around him a little more than I have, but I keep Arkansas fans around him. So as soon as he walks in, the room just kind of gets quiet initially, and the restaurant just kind of, and then all of a sudden, like, he starts meeting people, taking pictures with kids and whatnot in the interactions. But like the entire, like, there could have been important business meetings going on Friday. There could have been, but it just, all the attention just changed. And the entire time, everyone was just looking at him the whole time.
Because now everyone in that building has a story. I was at Herman's and I saw Coach Calipari. I mean, now everyone, mm-hmm. including, you know, with maybe the exception of Hunter Yurecek, including Congressman Womack, including the others that were there at Herman's mm-hmm. having a great lunch, Chuck, they all have got a story to go back to the office or tell their family or their golf buddies over the weekend.
Cal's really gracious. You know, every person that I've talked to that's had an encounter with him has talked about how gracious he's been. And I think that's genuine, and I think people feel that, and I think people – look, when a guy coaches at another school, you hate him just because he coaches at the other school for no other reason. And then you get to know somebody a little bit, or you're around him a little bit, and you realize what all the fuss has always been about. And he's one of those guys.
Oh, I hated him with the fire of a thousand suns prior to him coming to Fayetteville. No question.
Now you love
and I now he's the Arkansas coach. I did see he was helping out in Northwest Arkansas.
I saw those pictures.
With the tornado relief stuff. And just I know that he's offered help, and that's something I think is cool to see. Different, obviously, a lot of people have been affected. I also saw that FEMA, which is the disaster assistance, the federal government, they did declare Arkansas having a major disaster on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be federal funding for people's homes and businesses that have been affected, which I think is a big deal.
If you look at Cal's history at Kentucky. They did this there. Mm-hmm. They had instances of, you know, tragedies that came from weather. I think he took his team around the state a time or two, if I'm not mistaken. But he's always been really good in that area.
Yeah. And, you know, the cleanup's just begun, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of progress has been made, but, you know, there is so much
I'm
more
still
to
not
do.
Sure everyone has power. I'm not sure everybody has power.
There's about 9,000 people in Benton County alone that are without electricity. That's down a lot since it was, but that's just Benton County. That's not Washington.
For those 9,000, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
else has been turned back on.
I think Benton County may be the only county as of Sunday that still had some outages.
Okay. So Boone and Marion and Washington.
The map
are good.
I saw on the news, that was the map that they showed.
And I don't know specifically what electrical people we do need to credit, but in these
all
times, thank God y'all are there helping us out in these situations. Yeah.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
right, we'll welcome you back into the Morning Rush for your Hog Update. Dave Van Horn had plenty to say this weekend about the Arkansas baseball team and really what would happen in the Fayetteville Regional.
We came back, rested, and we swung the bat so good on Friday. We swung it really well yesterday, left 13 out there, and then today it looked like we were exhausted. You know, I didn't really know what to do or say, you know, but I think Simo just did a tremendous job of pitching to us today. But it's been a battle, and I would say that's probably when you don't pitch good, you don't have a chance. I mean, because the pressure of hitting this type of pitching day in and day out, you've got to stop people, and we struggled a little bit the last few weeks.
So I wouldn't say it was off. I mean, 6 runs is not great, but it's not terrible either. Guys, they just, for whatever reason, just didn't get a lot of hits yesterday.
Timely hits, especially. You know, you look at the number of runners left on base, and, you know, that's what really ends up hurting you over the course of the weekend. You know, there's only 7 left on base yesterday when you look at it, but I think it's 13 or 14 for the 2 games, Chuck.
A lot of missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. And my guess would be every baseball team who saw their season end this past weekend saying missed opportunities. And Arkansas had a lot of them.
Yeah, they were against Kansas State. You think about where they were in runners in scoring position, and they were 3 of 11, 6 of 22 when it comes to runners on. So plenty of opportunities, and particularly that Kansas State game, not as much in the SEMO game. Happy birthday to former Razorback Scott Hastings, who was born on this day back in 1960. Really enjoyed talking with Scott about the Denver Nuggets following their championship last year. Scott does radio out in Denver. He's the commentator. He's the color commentator for Denver. I think it's TV yeah. Broadcast. But right. happy birthday to a former Razorback basketball player. Definitely impacted early on in his playing days.
Great player. Scott Hastings was a great player at Arkansas. Hit big shots, won a lot of games, and Kansas kid.
NBA, we got some NBA to talk about. That's kind of why I reference him, because I want to get into that in just a bit. Also, some holiday stuff. Also want to mention, with that NBA, you've got Jordan Walsh, Daniel Gafford, 2 Razorbacks that will start playing on Thursday. I say playing. Jordan will be on the bench. He's probably not going to see much, if any, playing time this week. But, guys, one way or another, depending on – it actually doesn't matter who wins it. An Arkansas Razorback will walk away with a NBA Finals and NBA ring after this week, or after these next couple weeks.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for 2 young players, Chuck.
When do the finals start?
Thursday.
A week and a half from now?
Yeah, and I read Adam Silver's comments on that, and it actually made sense based on like the travel and the setting of different people. You can't move it up because you have hotel bookings and accommodations and various other things, flights and stuff. So it makes sense. But after it ended last week, you were just kind of ready for it to be here. And I understand why people don't like how long the time off is. But one way or another, whether it's the Mavs, Big C's Dallas Mavericks, or the Boston Celtics adding, I guess, number 18 or 19 to their trophy case, an Arkansas Razorback will walk away with a ring, which is pretty cool to think about.
I'm not one of those people who believes that the fix is in and they want series to go 7 games. If the fix had been in, those series would have gone 7 games, because when it doesn't happen and they don't go and you've got this long break, I doubt their numbers are going to be real good.
Right, because people lose interest. Mm-hmm. They move on to something else. The days are longer. The weather's better.
You lose all your momentum.
Yeah, and so now this is not good for the NBA at all, or good for for their television partner.
Yep, I agree.
Nevertheless, go Mavs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hopefully Daniel has more good games in the finals like he did in the Western Conference Finals. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, so we know Arkansas was not able to make it out of the Fayetteville Regional. I mentioned a couple elimination games today. LSU is in Chapel Hill facing off against North Carolina. They were able to win the game last night, forcing the final game later on today. And then you've got Florida taking on Oklahoma State in Stillwater. I think those are the only 2 SEC games today, guys. Again, some teams advanced, some didn't, but I'm actually curious to what happens this afternoon in Stillwater and what happens later on tonight in Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Is it fair to, because someone asked the question, and I said I just really didn't have an answer. I hadn't even thought of it. Is it fair to ponder or wonder Is the SEC really as good nationally or as dominant as we believe they are based on the way the regionals unfolded? Chuck, is that a fair line of thinking?
That it's not as good?
Yeah, that it's not as dominant.
I don't know. I don't think that's a fair line of thinking. I mean, it's not like the SEC has ever, you know, gotten to the round of 16 where you got, you know, 10 SEC teams. It's never been like that. We're disappointed. You know, unfortunately, it's our team this year that kind of laid that first round egg. But, no, I think Mississippi State was beaten by a better team. Mm-hmm. Virginia's good. And Mississippi State was beaten by a better team. LSU's right there in the championship game today. These are two seeds. Vanderbilt was not a great team during the season. I don't know that anyone could have really imagined Vanderbilt going very far. Same for South Carolina. You're always going to have these teams. Most of the teams we focused on, like Ole Miss being the last team in and winning it all. Most of the time, the 9th, 8th, 9th, 7th, 10th teams out of the SEC, most of the time, they don't get to Omaha.
Yeah, I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think any of the national seeds outside of Arkansas lost from the SEC.
That's correct.
So
now North Carolina is a national seed that could lose today.
Yes, and as
but in terms of our teams, though, you're exactly right.
And Oklahoma State's a top 16 team that can also fall to Florida later on today, which we know Arkansas has won both. And it's kind of interesting that the games that are today with involving SEC teams are two teams that you beat on the way to Omaha a couple years ago in Oklahoma State and Stillwater, and then North Carolina and Chapel Hill. That Honeycutt kick, Chuck, I don't know if you've watched much North Carolina. He was a freshman when Arkansas faced him in Chapel Hill 2 years ago. I think he's got like 50-something career home runs. I mean, he is just – he's fun to watch. And when you have a bat like him and a bat like Tommy Takes, that's that actually game that even though Arkansas's out that I'm probably going to watch later on today because there's no finals, like we said, till Thursday. So there's like
somebody's going to have a pitcher pitch well who generally doesn't. That team will win.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
All right, let's talk to Jeremy, who is in Tulsa this morning on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Jeremy, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you good.
Good. So I'm just not tuning in this morning, but Ty, I did listen to your post-game show yesterday, and I was watching that at nighttime, and, you know, some people are saying some stuff that, you know, I agree with you. I think that they have the right to say, but sometimes I don't think that people think through what they're going to say. I know, like, the first two callers were calling for Dave Van Horn's job. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, what are we talking about as far as wanting Dave Van Horn gone? And I say that because you look at Norm DeBrien's career, a very good career. He coached at Arkansas, I believe, for 33 years. He made 4 College World Series appearances. So if you do the math on that, that's one out of every 8 years. So once every decade under Norm DeBrien, you're making the College World Series. So, use the same logic with Dave Van Horn. He's been here since 2003 for 21 seasons. He's made 7 College World Series appearances. So one out of every 3 years, Dave Van Horn, when he's coached at Arkansas, is taking us to Omaha. So the people that are saying Dave Van Horn needs to be gone, and you piggyback that with year after year, top 5 recruiting class. He's bringing in talent that other teams and programs would drool to have. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people want him gone is just mind-blowing. David Horn has set a standard here where it is Omaha or bust. That's a great standard to be in. And as an Arkansas fan following football, basketball, and baseball, I try not to take it for granted because Arkansas is the closest program, in my opinion, to winning a national championship. And the people that say David Horn can't win a national championship, in 2018 they were a drop, pop, fly away from winning it. He had put his team in the perfect spot to win the national championship, and the players dropped the foul ball. What do you want Dave Van Horn to do? Go out there, put a glove on, and actually catch the ball? So I'm just a little frustrated with the people that are saying, fire DVH, fire DVH. Again, you have your opinion, and you're allowed to have your opinion, but let's think, let's use some logic when we're saying that we need to fire Dave Van Horn, because who are you going to go get? Who are you going to go get that is going to take you to the College World Series once out of every 3 years? Answer that question. Who's in the market that will do what Dave Van Horn is doing currently at the University of Arkansas? Oh, and by the way, since 2018, I believe Arkansas is the most winningest program in all of college baseball from a win percentage perspective.
You're correct. Yep.
So what else do you guys want? So the people that are, and I'll end with this, and I'll listen to you guys, but the people that are saying Dave Van Horn needs to be gone, rather than just saying irrational things all of the time, let's learn to think a little bit. And who would you go get to replace Dave Van Horn that could give us more success than what DVH has currently done at the University of Arkansas? And I'm a big Arkansas baseball fan. I am just as frustrated as the next guy. I mean, I watched the game yesterday in total shock. I didn't know how to feel. Like, I mean, a huge Arkansas baseball guy. I mean, I sat on the phone with my dad and my brother for over 2 hours yesterday just trying to rationalize the way that I was feeling because I was so upset. But with that being said, guys, DVH does not need to go. He needs to stay at Arkansas for as long as he wants to stay at Arkansas and continue to build this program, and eventually we will get a national championship under DVH. Guys, thank you for the floor. I'll listen.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. It's probably the most passionate call we've had, not just today, but yesterday, too, in favor of Dave Van Horn. Tyler in Tampa, we had some callers yesterday calling and texting on the McCarty-Dana hotline. Their first things were pointing to Tony Vitale and Wes Johnson, who, by the way, have also not won a national championship. I will say this about Dave Van Horn and any other old ball coach. Based on the comments that you said yesterday, he is willing to adapt and change the roster. And it's one thing, I would get that thought from Arkansas fans, where you're coming from, if he just was unwilling and would not budge on anything. If he did the same thing that he did in 2004 and was trying to do the same thing in 2024, he hasn't at all. Go look at the recruiting classes that you were getting in 2003 versus now. Look at a lot of things that have changed over the years. It is night and day difference. You referenced the seven World Series, College World Series in 21 years. That's an exceptional number. There's not a coach in the country that matches that in that time frame specifically. Yes, I realize you won a national championship. I get that as much as anybody. I thought there was a good chance it was going to happen this year. It didn't. But this idea that you should move on from, as you said, the best coach in the 2018 to 24 time frame is idiotic. I'm all for hot takes on a Hot Take Monday, and I get people are still scalding and angry after what happened over the course of the weekend, but that's a bridge too far for me.
Maybe your best coach on campus, even with John Calipari there.
Look, maybe. Guys, first off, Dave doesn't need any of us to take up for him, and his record speaks for itself. I understand people being upset after the ball game was over. I get all that. And we live in a world right now where when you lose, somebody's got to get fired. If they love the head coach, well, the assistants have got to get fired. If they hate the head coach, man, we got to change head coaches. But somebody's got to get fired. That's just how it is with a lot of people now. But I think everyone should understand very clearly that no one takes that seriously. I mean, no one takes you seriously when you say Dave Van Horn ought to be fired. Is it a disappointing end? Absolutely. Now, I don't buy into all this philosophical stuff. I think people are latching on to that. Basically, Dave's trying to, what he said after the ball game was, I want to put together the same type teams we've had before that have been really good. Guys that can hit for some average and get on and not have 8 or 9 home run hitters. This has not been the way the lineup's been every year. People make it sound like it is, but that's not true. No one's seriously considering that. I would doubt, just very frankly, I would doubt there's any change at all on Arkansas staff, unless one of them gets a head coaching job, which could happen, I guess. But I don't think anybody's going to get fired.
Here's what I'll say on that. I think that there is more of a thought process in that regard when it comes to the hitting than there's been in recent years, based on the fact that you have not been good since 2021, where the highest you finished is 10th in the conference in batting average. You were 11th this year, 12th last season, 12th in 2022, and 10th in 2021. So the last 4 years hitting the baseball, you have been at the bottom half of the SEC. Now, again, I reference this earlier. I'll say it again. In 2018 and 2019, you were top three, and you were number one in 2018. What happened in 2018? You ended up in the College World Series final, as Jeremy just mentioned, with an out away from winning the whole stinking thing. They are not going to get to the pinnacle with those numbers. Mm-hmm. I don't care what changes. I don't care if it's personnel. I don't care if it's a coach. I don't care what it is. But you have to change something.
Well, and you mentioned philosophies earlier. I mean,
it's personnel. It's what he said after the game. It's personnel. You've got to be able to put together a lineup that goes beyond 8 or 9 power hitters. You've got to change the face of your lineup. That's not a philosophical change. Everybody latches onto that term as though it's, you know, as though the coach has had an epiphany. That's not what's happened. Dave's not just, you know, coming to the realization. This is what every coach tries to do every year, is put together a balanced lineup, and some years are better than others. And they thought they had that dealt with, and as it turned out, some guys went pro and they didn't have it dealt with.
Yeah. You agree you coach to the talent you have?
It varies. Some guys can get them more out of players than others.
But if you recruit power hitters, you probably are going to coach power hitting, I guess is the point. Mm-hmm. Just like if you recruit, you know, run blockers in football on the line and running backs, you're probably going to run the ball more than you're going to throw it, would be my point. And
are you going to try to turn Peyton Holt into a singles hitter?
Well, my point is, when you recruit, I think you mentioned it earlier, and I thought the best analogy is you can't have a great basketball team with 5 centers. They've got to get more balance between power hitters and getting guys on base. And whether you want to call that small ball, whatever you want to call that, but there's got to be a better mix. And if people want to point the finger to Nate Thompson, but, you know, is it his coaching techniques that are bad? Or is it just he's coaching the players he has?
Well, I think as we said in the first hour, you've got to be able to beat teams in multiple ways. And that's particularly true in the postseason. It's great to have home run hitters. I mean, it's great to have them. But you can't have 8 or 9 of them. You know, you just can't. And I think that, in fact, I know that that's what he's talking about.
Well, chicks dig the long ball. That's the problem.
Yeah. Let's talk to Brian in Ozark. Brian, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Ty?
Nothing much, man.
I just want to comment. You know, I talked to you last night, and it's the same thing. I mean, I've heard all these people want to be all blame Dave Van Horn and run Dave Van Horn off and everything. You know, Dave Van Horn has been the most consistent and best coach at Arkansas for the last 20 years in any sports. There's nobody better than Dave Van Horn at Arkansas. And all these kids, think about it. If you didn't have Dave Van Horn, you wouldn't have Hagen Smith. You wouldn't have any of these kids that were on this team, period, because they want Dave Van Horn. Most of them didn't come to play for Arkansas. They came to play for Dave Van Horn. As of hundreds and hundreds of other kids in the last 20 years and will continue. Dave Van Horn is Arkansas baseball. He brings top-tier talent. And it's just ridiculous that these idiots would want him ran off, you know, because, you know, he didn't play the game. He coaches these kids to their potential. He can't, he's not out there swinging the bat. He's not catching the ball. He's not doing anything. He's doing everything that he can to make these kids the best. And Dave Van Horn is the best. You lose him, you're going to lose Arkansas baseball. And, I mean, just reference, kids from all over the country come to Arkansas for Dave Van Horn. They're doing it now for basketball. Maybe one day they'll do it for football. But, you know, I just, man, it's disgusting to listen to wannabe Arkansas fans that want the greatest baseball coach in Arkansas history gone. That's just ludicrous, stupid. Anyways, well, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Brian. Understand, though, that that's just arguments among us or people or guys at the coffee shop or people on the radio. No one's seriously considering that. I can assure you that is not seriously considered for 1 second.
At the motions taking over keyboards.
Roberts in Fort Smith, also some thoughts on Razorback baseball. Robert, welcome in.
Hey, guys, real quick. I don't care, fire, don't fire, but you guys have to admit we have an upper echelon team like the Georgia, and I brought this up to you yesterday, kind of like Georgia and Alabama. Do we not?
Comparing to football?
Well, without the championships or championship for that matter.
Okay, yeah, but we are, okay. So, that being agreed upon, we are failing as an upper echelon team. Year in, we've got a year in, year out, the last 2 or 3 years, we are failing as an upper echelon team. And that's my problem. He is not getting everything we can or should because, you know, the football team would put up with it. And we just, that's what happens. We get there and then he can't finish it off. And it's just sad, you know. So have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Robert. I think the best comparison that could be made for Arkansas baseball is Gonzaga basketball. You've been there to the pinnacle a couple times. You've been several deep postseason runs. Dave's got a deep respect from his coaching people, all the different coaches he coaches against. They just haven't won one yet. And for you referenced Georgia. I think about Mark Richt and the time that Georgia, I don't think they appeared in the national championship. They were good, right? 10 wins, 9 wins, 11 wins, occasional SEC championship here and there, but they couldn't get over the top. I know that comparison is made. I just hope whatever happens this next season, that he does get one. I saw a Mike Martin text reference on the McCarty Daniel hotline earlier. Late Mike Martin, who went to the College World Series, what was it, 17 times, Tommy? It was an insane number.
Yeah, I mean, maybe more now.
And, I mean, I feel he passed away now, but he was a guy that everyone wanted to win one, and it just never happened. And I hope that same fate is not Dave Van Horn's fate. But you never know. It's baseball. Never know how it plays out.
Well, I know this, Arkansas continues to knock on the door, and the consistency's been impressive. And I know people are disappointed. I get all that. And I know people are angry. And, you know, again, as I said a little bit earlier, when you don't get to where you want to go, there's always going to be people that think somebody ought to get fired. And we just live in an era where we're not going to change that.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.